right. Thank you so much for being here today. And Happy New Year indeed. It's already January 7th. Has anybody already broke their New Year's resolutions, if you made them? Probably. It's enough time, usually 7 days. Now, they say that most people make it till March or something like that. But hopefully your commitments will be long-lasting and life-changing this year. And we want to start back this year in the book of Romans. Last year, we studied through Romans chapters 1 through 11. And 1 through 11 are kind of the heavy theological parts. And we thought, hey, it'd be a great thing to kick off the new year in Romans chapter 12. And 12 through 16 of the book of Romans kind of give the how-tos part of the book of Romans. And more practical, down-to-earth solutions, how to live out our theological beliefs in a modern world. And we kick off today with really some of the most common verses that you see on cards and maybe memory verses if you grew up in church and things like that. And some of my really favorite verses in all of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is going to kind of be our memory verses for this month as well. We'll continue to do through our Bridge Kids Ministry memory verses. And so you can practice memorizing Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some tough and difficult words this morning we're going to walk through a little bit. But this is what it says, and great verses to think about in this season of New Year's. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Now, these verses have been challenging for Christians through the ages because they give us some really good directives as to how to live our life for God. And I call these verses just, my theme for this passage is say yes. Just say yes to God's will. You know, a few years ago there was a good movie. If you're looking for a good family movie, there's a movie called Yes Day. Anybody seen Yes Day? I love the idea. I love the idea of it. I don't like the practical workings out of it. But the thing about Yes Day was it was a day for kids to do whatever they wanted to, and parents were not allowed to say no. Would that be fun? Those are the kids that are in here, if parents could not say no. And, you know, it's a challenging thought for parents because it helps you think through, man, how many times do I tell my kids no? We say no way more than we say yes. And so let's give kids a yes day. So this led to this particular family. I won't spoil the movie for you, but one of the things that the kids said to do was they would go through a car wash with the windows rolled down and the top off and things like that. And the parents could not say no, right? So it's an interesting concept. Great movie. But I want to say today is a yes day, okay? And these verses challenge us to be yes people. Specifically, yes to God's will. And really, if you're a believer and you believe that God created the world, that the world was broken because of sin, and God made a way through Jesus Christ, and if you believe, like the song we just sang, that Jesus is the Ancient of Days, that He is the ruler, the King of the universe, if you believe, like we just sang, that He's coming again when the trumpet sounds, if you believe that He is King Jesus, that He is Lord Jesus, that God is ruler, creator, sustainer of all things, then you know what you can't say no to is Him. So every day should be a yes day if you are a believer. As a matter of fact, that's been a practice I started years ago after reading one Christian who said he started off every day with this prayer, and I write this in my prayer journal every morning. Lord, whatever you ask of me today, my answer is yes. And the follow-up to that is, because if he's really Lord, you can't say no. If he's really king of your life, you can't say no. But that prayer gets you started off on the right track. Lord, whatever you ask for me today, my answer is yes. And then after that, I turn, open the Bible, and begin to read, remembering I can't say no to whatever he wants. So this is a yes day. And this passage of Scripture gives us three firm things we're to say yes to, okay? The first is we're to say yes to true worship. That's what it says. It says, therefore, in view of the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true worship. And I love those two words. This is your true worship. Or maybe your translation says this is your true act of spiritual worship or something like that. But we should say yes to true worship. And what is true worship? True worship means it's not just church on Sunday. We call this Sunday, if you grew up in church, you tend to call what some people say, I'm going to worship. And we call this a worship service. But this is not really true worship in the biblical sense. It's not just church on Sunday. It is all of life at God's disposal. Church on Sunday is just meant to be a special time to gather with God's people, to sing His praises, to gain encouragement from God's Word and from each other. But really, God wants all of our lives to be at His disposal. And that's true worship. That's what He says, present your bodies, not just on Sunday, and not just Sunday morning, but present your bodies all the time as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is not talking about a worship service or when you're listening to praise music or when you're singing. This is talking about a way of life. That God wants your whole body dead to self, holy and pleasing to Him. Now, you may know, as they say, if you say yes to something, it also means you're saying no to something else, right? It's like if you said yes to becoming a parent, you've had to say no to a whole host of other things, like having a house without things broken, right? And having clean carpets and having clean furniture and having furniture that's not ripped and torn and all of that. You've said no to all of that for a season. You know, that's what a few years ago, I tried to fix everything when it was broken, and I finally just said, oh, we'll fix it all when the kids move out, you know, so I'll just live with the broken stuff for a few more years. But if you want to have a beach body or whatever, to say yes to that, you have to say no to a lot of other things. Chips and salsa, eating out of restaurants, all the good stuff out there, right? Well, spirituality and spiritual growth and true worship is the same way. To say yes to God also means you have to work on saying no to some other things. And Paul wraps all of these things in this verse just like this. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, that's a challenging statement if you think about it, because in Paul's way of thinking, and he's writing to Christians and many Jews who had become Christian in Rome, and he himself was a Jewish teacher. So in his mind, what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is a thing that does what? It dies. So the thing about that, this term living sacrifice is kind of an oxymoron, right? I want you to be alive and dead at the same time. But that's something we as Christians ought to be familiar with, because Jesus also used that challenge. He said he wanted us to die to ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And He wasn't calling us to commit suicide. He was calling us to die to that thing self that tries to control us. The competing yeses that our own selfishness bring to our mind. And Paul says, I want you to say no to self, to be alive yet dead, to be alive to God and dead to self. That's what maybe you remember from last year, our challenge in Romans chapter 6. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, to reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that's the challenge for us as Christians, to be alive and dead at the same time. Dead to self. I want you to be dead but alive. Dead to self and all the competing yeses that life tends to bring, but alive to me. These verses also challenge us. We have to say no to unrighteousness. The challenge is, he says, I want you to be holy and pleasing to God. So here's a good challenge. To say no to anything that doesn't line up with God's will as revealed in His Word. So I think the habit and practice and discipline of daily Bible reading and prayer is so important. And that practice that I learned years ago, Lord, whatever you ask of me today, my answer is yes. Then begin reading the Bible and just try to not say no to anything there. Just say yes to everything there. And say no to anything in my life that doesn't line up with God's will as revealed in His Word. And that's how we become holy and pleasing to God. That leads us to verse 2 and a kind of a second yes. I think these verses would say yes to God's will. Verse 2 is a great verse to memorize. It says, do not be conformed to this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So say yes to God's will, that good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And this verse kind of leads us to say, what is God's will? And I think what it's telling us is God's will is our transformation. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. See, if we follow God's will, it will lead to a changed and transformed life. That's what the Bible promises. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. God's will lead us to a changed and transformed life. And that is what He desires. He desires for us to be transformed. And then we can participate with God's will, this passage would tell us, by participating in God's will through things that will renew our minds. See, spiritual growth and transformation and sanctification and all these things, they're not one-time things. Like salvation is a one-time act. You place your faith and trust in Christ. The Bible says you're then saved. You're given eternal life. It doesn't end. It's eternal. But spiritual growth is not like that. Spiritual growth is more like bathing, okay? You have to bathe every day or two, right? You just have to do that. It's a continual renewal process. Okay, hopefully most of you don't need to hear that, but some of you might need to hear that. So continue, if you go to camp with the kids this year, you'll need to remind them of that, okay? Bathing is a continual renewal process, guys. And that's what spiritual growth is as well. It's a renewal process. And we can participate with God's will of our transformation through things that renew our mind. Spiritual habits and disciplines, the Bible, prayer, relationships with God's people, saying no to unrighteousness, saying no to self. All of these things are graces and gifts that God has given us to participate with Him in transforming our lives. This verse also tells us some things to say no to as well. It says, do not be conformed to this world or this age. And that's something we always need to be thinking of, is how this age, this world, you know what? It's seeking to transform us as well. It's always seeking to get our attention and to steal our yeses away from God. And so you need to think, how is this world seeking to transform me? And how is it seeking to conform me into its image? And you can look and think, what is some of the things in this age that do that? Well, in our age, we can say it's fear. Man, you wake up in the morning, you're told immediately, if you turn on the news or open the newspaper, you're told immediately five or six things that you should be afraid of, right? The world wants you to fear and to seek solutions in this world. And then we can say folly is another thing that this age wants us to be involved in. The constant entertainment, drive to be entertained, to binge this show, or to take this trip, or all of that. The pleasure, the advertising. You don't have this yet? You're kind of told that immediately in the morning. You don't have this yet. Your life can't be complete until you watch this show, own this thing, drive this car, go to this place. It's the spirit of this age. And then we have this celebrity culture that we're told you should want to be like this person, these people. Right here, the Bible says, say no to this world. And it's fear, it's folly, it's pleasure. Don't be conformed to it, but be transformed by renewing your mind, by participating with God through spiritual habits, disciplines, by trusting Him and His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So He says the benefit of saying yes to God's will and transformation. He says you'll gain a new mind and you'll gain discernment. Discernment just means understanding and knowledge, and the ability to see what's right and wrong, what's black and white, what's dark and light. And you'll be able to see what is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will that I'm to walk in. There's one more yes that Romans 12 would ask us to make. And we didn't read verses 3 through 8, but in verse 3 through 8, we see a call to say yes to relationship. And specifically say yes to the body of Christ. That's what Romans 12 verse 5, it says, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now this is talking about saying yes to the church. Now, not church, not just church on Sunday. Remember, we're about all of life at God's disposal, not just Sunday is our day for God, but all of life. So when the Bible talks about church, it's talking about Christ's body, the body of Christ, locally and globally. You know, you're tied in with the body of Christ. It's all over this world. We are the body of Christ. And then locally, God fits us in with a specific group of relationships that we're to fit into and we're to gather with, and we're to use our gifts and resources to encourage and build up and serve and make a difference in the world together. So church means the gathering of Christ's body locally and your place in Christ's body and God's mission all over the world. You see, God wanted His people together. That's really what the word church means, together. We are the body of Christ. You, as a believer, are an intricate piece in the body. That's what He says in verses 3 and 4. He says, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul picks up this theme, and he talks about this idea of the body of Christ. And he describes the body just like your body. And he says, you know, the hand can't say to the body, I'm going to go do my own thing, you know. And the foot can't say, you know what, you're on your own. And if I lost my hand, if I lost my foot, if I lost my ear, I would feel a big loss. Even if one time I broke one of my little toes. And you know, you don't think, I don't use that little toe much until you can't use it or it hurts to use it. And then you realize, man, even my little toe is a very important part of my life. And Paul says this is how we should think about our relationship with other Christians. My place is very valuable in God's global body, to God's mission. So we need to say yes to this year, to God's will. We say yes to true worship, and we should say yes to doing my part to expand God's kingdom through His body. Now, are those that say, well, you know, I don't need church to be a Christian. And that's true. There's no commandment that says you must go to church this many times a year to make it to heaven. And if we did make church a prerequisite for going to heaven, then that would be a works-based salvation, and we would be doing away with what Jesus did. Jesus died to get us to heaven. Church dies to help prepare a church. Church is there to help us prepare for heaven. But for those that say, I'm fine on my own, I can do the Christian life without church, that's where Paul says, verse 3, you shouldn't think of yourself more highly than you should. Okay. I'm not fine on my own. I need others, and others need me. And God gave me gifts and grace because of it. Part of the grace God gives me is godly brothers and sisters who challenge me, who help me grow, who pray for me. We need each other. And I'm one part of a body that will be incomplete without me. That's how we should think about the church. When I withhold my gifts, when I withdraw, it means my body, my church, my people may be missing a piece that would expand God's kingdom that much more through our efforts. Our gifts, our contributions, they make a difference. And that's what Paul says in verses 6 through 8. He says, according to the grace given to us, grace is just another word for gift, we have different gifts. So Paul says this, according to the gifts God gave, given to us, we have all different gifts. If prophecy, and here's the two little words we need to hear to say yes to. Use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. I have a gift or gifts. Here's what Paul would say. Use it. How am I going to say yes to the body of Christ and being my active piece, to using my gifts to expand God's kingdom this year? Say yes to God's will. Say yes to true worship. And say yes to the body of Christ. Now, I want to take just a few minutes, so we're going to come back and do a little exercise, but just around our tables to talk about this morning. I know you've hopefully done some time thinking about your personal New Year's resolution, but just around your tables, take a few minutes just to discuss what are some things that I need to say yes to this year, maybe in my personal life or in my life with my church or things like that. And maybe what are some things that you've thought about I need to say no to this year? Or maybe you need to say to the table, pray for me, I'm trying to say no to this thing. Okay, so let's take just a few minutes and discuss our yeses and nos in relations to Romans 12 this morning. All right, so some good yeses and nos around the tables, hopefully, and it's a good exercise to do. How do I say yes to God and His will this year? And what other things does that lead me to say no to? And specifically, we want to talk for a few more minutes about saying yes to the body of Christ. And specifically here with Bridge Church. You all have a card that's been passed out on the tables. Looks like this. It says, Bridge Church Yes Day. And I want to talk to you about some opportunities we have to help you say these important yeses in your spiritual journey this year. So remember, this is yes day. You can't say no, okay? You got to say yes to something. There's some good things that we're going to do this year that I believe will help all of us grow in our true worship, experience God's will and transformation, and participate in this global body of Christ that's moving God's kingdom forward and expanding God's kingdom around the world. So we're kind of organizing. We realigned this past year some of our ministries, and we're organizing around four things there that are on your card. Gatherings and groups, equipping and training, missions and mobilization, and admin and operation. And that's really the only four things that we're doing with Bridge Church. And under that are all kind of ways that we can all get involved and say yes, okay? So let's talk about these, and I want you to think about where you fit. Remember, we just saw we're each a vital part of the body of Christ. We each have a gift that is vitally important to my local body of Christ and God's global mission in the world. So where do I fit in? Gatherings and groups. To say yes to gatherings and groups means saying yes to worship. That's worship attendance. We're going to have 50 to 51 worship gatherings this year at the YMCA and local parks and other places. And we want you to say yes to those because it's just a great time to get together. At these worship gatherings, we hear from God, we hear from each other, and God hears from us as we sing and pray. So say yes to faithfulness in worship. And all of life worship flows out of these kind of relationships and experiences together. Say yes to Bible study. That's where groups are such a vital part. Bible study, relationships, and care. That's what we do in gatherings and groups. We worship, we study the Bible, we experience great relationships, and we experience care. We let people know what's going on in our life. We receive encouragement and other types of care from each other. That's what the body of Christ does. So how do I say yes to that? Well, one is, and just a few of the ways, one is just getting together regularly. And other is being a part of a group. And not all of you, I'm not sure if all of you are part of a group, but maybe your yes this morning is say, hey, this year I need to join, and I put join or host a group. Maybe you're part of a group, and you say, you know what? I need to take another step and host a group in my neighborhood. Or maybe I just need to connect with a small group Bible study. Small group Bible studies, we used to call them family groups because we become family together. A lot of our groups have dinner together, eat together, care for one another, have fun together, argue together. It's okay, all right? We're family, right? So maybe this year, yes, for you needs to be join or host a group, okay? And those boxes there are meant to be checked, and that's your yes before God. Or maybe it's to serve on our worship team. We have a great kind of volunteer, all-volunteer worship team. If you have a gift that you're hiding, okay, then we're going to ask you to do what Paul says, use it, okay? And so if you have a hidden gift there and want to step out and say, I want to use it for God's glory, then make this the year you do that. We've had what we call our greeters, our first impressions team. And some of our first impressions team take that very seriously. And that's to help make sure everybody is welcomed at the door and all of that, and then make sure there's room for them to get through the door, you know, if everybody's standing in the way and all of that. And just make sure that guests have good first experiences and first impressions. Maybe that's, hey, I can do that. I can serve on that team. Or maybe it's to be a part of our Bridge Kids and Students team. Now, since we have so many kids, a big percentage of our adults serve with Bridge Kids or Students in some way. And thank you for that. But if you're not on our Bridge Kids teaching rotation or helpers or students, then you know maybe you want to check that box. Say, hey, I'm interested in helping. Our schedules are set quarterly, so you'll be off the hook until about March, I think, you know. But if you're interested, we desperately need help with our growing kids ministry and student ministry. And this doesn't have to be an every Sunday thing. Most of our teachers teach about once a month, I believe. And then it could be just if you would like to volunteer to help with fundraisers for camp or to go as a chaperone to camp. Now, if you really want to grow your faith, I would suggest signing up to go as a chaperone to camp. And that would be a great experience. And then our setup team. Now, we debated calling this setup and teardown team, but teardown, we're all here together and everybody helps with teardown. And thank you for that. Well, we do need some help in the mornings setting up things. Sometimes it's just a few of us. And really, we do a simple setup. This all takes only about 45 minutes if we have 3 to 4 people. And some have committed saying, hey, I'm going to come every other Sunday, or I'm going to come once a month. So if you'd be one to say, hey, you know what? I'd like to come and help once a month, every other Sunday. Maybe you'll love it so much like I do. I just like setting up chairs. It's one of my graces, I guess. But we meet about 8 a.m. here at the Y and set all of this up. And this helps us in a lot of ways. One thing is it helps us keep our overhead way down. The other alternative to you picking up your chair or setting up your chair is us having a building campaign and having to raise $1 million plus. And if you're okay not giving $1 million, then, you know, you can help with set up and tear down a little bit, maybe. But gatherings and groups, say yes to worship, Bible study, relationships, and care. And there may be some other things in this area. Maybe you think, maybe there's something not on here that you think, man, why aren't they doing that? And why is this such a mess? And why is this crooked? Well, you know what I think? I'm just going to say it. That's God's voice saying, use it. Stand up and say, hey, they need you to help in that area. And make some suggestions and whatever God leads you to do. Equipping and training. Now, this is an area we've kind of not gotten back to since before COVID. But equipping and training is a vital part of the ministry of your local church. The Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 4 that your church leaders are here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's what a lot of churches don't get. A lot of churches say, well, we pay the pastor to do the work of the ministry. But it actually says pastors are there to equip the people for the work of the ministry. So this year we're going to get back to something we used to do called Equip Sundays. And on the first Sunday of every month, we'll have lunch and a leadership development training here at the YMCA, so that you can develop yourself as a leader and disciple maker and be trained to be that vital part of God's kingdom that He made you to be. So if you'd say, hey, I'm going to say yes to Equip Sundays, I know I need to be equipped for God's mission, then check that box. And maybe you want to go a little deeper and do leadership development on a more specific area. So that's what our disciple-making cohorts are going to be. And we'd love for some of you to take a good deep dive next step into leadership development. Missions and mobilization. This is what I'm most excited about. One thing that went away with COVID for Bridge Church was our mission trips. We used to do several mission trips a year, including local mission trips. And we just haven't made the jump to get back out in the world on mission trips. But missions and mobilization is about saying yes to being mobilized to God's mission here and around the world. Saying yes to missions, to outreach, to servanthood, to faith in action. So this year we're going to have at least 4 mission trip opportunities. From regionally, nationally, and then internationally. an international trip. It's going to be a lot of fun. The furthest trip will be to Zimbabwe, Africa. So if you're interested in taking a long international trip, then check Mission Trip. But not just that one. There will also be opportunities here somewhere in the United States to do a trip with Sin Relief. And there will also be some regional trips. It will be either overnight or just one day. So we want everybody to be out in the world on mission. We're also going to get back to an old practice of Bridge Church called Faith in Action Sunday. We used to take one Sunday a quarter, and instead of singing and preaching, we would go out and serve. And this year we're going to return to doing at least three Faith in Action Sundays, where we'll do projects around our community to serve in various ways. And there are also other ways you can be mobilized. We have partners that you can get involved with that are doing prison ministry. We have our multi-housing ministry at places like Oak Villa Mobile Home Park that we need people to get involved with. Foster care ministry. We have Paul at the Samaritan Center that have opportunities to be mobilized for God's mission. And there are all kinds of ways. And maybe there's something not on here. Or maybe you'd say, hey, you know, I've always wanted to lead a mission trip or go on a mission trip to a certain place. And maybe you want to say, I'll lead a mission trip to some area. And we want to train you and make that opportunity available. And then admin and operations. And this is just to say yes to partnership and support and the faithful partnership and support. And being a partner and supporting your local church is partly about your gifts and using those, and also about contributing and giving. Now, we treat giving. I believe giving is an act of worship. So I grew up hearing the term, we worship through giving. Because God commends us to bring the tithe to the storehouse so that I may have food in my house. And so it's something God commanded and Jesus commended in the New Testament. And so it's a practice that helps move the kingdom and mission of God forward in the world. As we all contribute our little bit, together it becomes a lot for God's glory. And Bridge Church is a great partner in giving. Because other churches, I read yesterday that the average church in America, about 65% of its income goes to buildings and salaries. Okay. Well, that's not true for Bridge Church. Bridge Church, because of our no-frills, simple strategy, we have about 20% of our budget will go to admin and operation. And the rest goes to gatherings and groups, equipping and training, mission and mobilization. And we even see that our contribution, our rent here at the Y, goes to support a great nonprofit that does a lot of good in our community. So we have a great partner in faithful partnership, faithful giving through our local church here at the Y, Bridge Church. So say yes, I want to be a faithful partner. And maybe there's a way you want to say, hey, I have administrative gifts that I'd like to help. We have a rotating counting team that counts the offering each Sunday. That's an area of admin support. We have a finance team. That's an area of admin support. We have some admin support areas that maybe you say, that's my specific gift and what I love. And we'd love for you to use that gift through Bridge Church. So these are your opportunities to say yes this year through Bridge Church. And you can't say no, okay? And by saying yes, you're going to receive so much in return. It will be a yes to transformation. It will be a yes to true worship. It will be a yes to spiritual growth. And I believe it will be a yes to Jesus. We thought we'd do this Sunday, the first Sunday of the year. It's a good time to practice the Lord's Supper. And the guys are going to bring our Lord's Supper table over here to the middle. And I want us to close by remembering and saying again, saying yes to Jesus. That's what about what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about the people of God coming together to remember Jesus and to lay our yes again on Jesus's, at Jesus' feet. And that's how Romans 12 starts out. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God. Okay, so we think about our faith, as we think about our service and our place in God's kingdom. We don't do it just to, you know, as self-care, though there is some self-care benefits to serving and worship and all that. We don't do it just because the preacher said it, just because I need to relieve this guilt I have or whatever. We do it because of all that He has done for us. As we think about that little phrase, in view of the mercies of God, we think, first of all, about His gracious gifts in this world, His creation. And He's created us, and He's made us as an individual, that He desires a relationship with you. And then in view of the mercies of God, we also think about the great sacrifice that He made in sending His Son to this world to die for our sins. That's what we remember when we take the Lord's Supper. We take the bread, which is a symbol of Christ's broken body. We take the juice, which is a symbolic of His shed blood, and we remember that great sacrifice that He made. He was the first living sacrifice. Jesus died, but He's alive today because He defeated sin and death for us. So as we think about our faith, our need, we think about Jesus. We remember Jesus. As we think about serving Him and giving our life to His mission, you know what? We need to think about Jesus. It's Him that empowers us. And it's Him that uses us. And it's Him that all of our life worship, our devotion, our serving, our together relationships, all of it is a act of worship to Him. And so that's what the Lord's Supper is about remembering and then about saying yes again, laying our yes at His altar once again for all of our lives. So you have your card. Hopefully you filled that out. And this is what I want you to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some music. The guys are going to sing. And we want you to, as you feel prepared, as you've said your yeses and nos to Jesus, and you have your heart prepared and right, if you're a baptized believer in Him, we want you to come when you're ready and partake of the Lord's Supper and bring that card. Bring that card and lay it on this table. We're just going to make this table just a kind of altar of sorts. And bring that card and say, I'm ready to say yes to true worship, say yes to God's will this year, and say yes to expanding God's kingdom through my local church. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace and for the invitation You've given us to eternal life, to salvation, to relationship with You, to a transformed life. We thank You for inviting us in to Your kingdom. We thank You for giving us a valued place as a priest in Your kingdom, as a missionary, as a valued part of Your body. Lord, we thank You for opportunities we have to serve You. And Lord, the grace we have, our health, of all the generosity that we've received from Your hand. And Lord, we want to offer that back to You today. We offer it back to You in the form of yeses. Yes, we want to be true worshipers. Yes, we want to follow Your good, perfect, and pleasing will of God, and that alone. And yes, we want to take our place in Your kingdom's advance, as Your kingdom only advances through individuals who do our part to say our yes to advance Your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you just open our hearts, open our eyes, open our hearts to any sin that we may be carrying in our lives, any unforgiveness, anything that we need to repent of. As we remember your great sacrifice, we want to do it without anything in our lives between you and us. And Lord, we just pray that you would just cleanse us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would just open our hearts to just the greatness of your love for us and that sacrifice of Jesus. Help us remember so that we can live this year giving you the most glory possible. In Jesus' name, amen. As this song sings, I want you, again, as you feel prepared, come and partake of the Lord's Supper and leave your yes card on this table. If you need someone to pray with, I'll be to my right.